Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Women of Golf Show. I'm Ted Oderico, and joining me is LPGA professional Cindy Miller, and we are your hosts. We're broadcasting live every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern here on the blogtalkradio.com network, bringing you some of the best golfers, teacher professionals, and entrepreneurs helping to elevate women's golf. We're so glad you decided to join us this morning, so grab your coffee and let's get started. All right, good morning, and thank you everyone for joining me this morning here on the Women of Golf Show. Cindy is not going to be on the broadcast this morning. She's mid-flight, if I'm not mistaken, or mid-travel anyways, off to another adventure, and we'll talk to her a little bit about that next week when she comes back on the show. So it'll just be me with my very special guest this morning, Lauren Coughlin, who was competing in this past weekend's Symetra Tour event, the Sky Golf Championship. We're going to talk to her a little bit about that and more when she joins me here. But thanks, everybody, again, for joining us here on the Women of Golf Show. Just a couple of quick reminders. Of course, you can find us every week here on the blogtalkradio.com network. We air live every Tuesday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Eastern, unless otherwise indicated. And at the end of the show, you'll hear some other great ways, in addition to joining us here, that you can listen to the broadcast when it's convenient for you on some other different social media platforms. So make sure you stick out till the end of the broadcast, and you'll hear some other great ways, and also some other ways that you can reach out to both Cindy and I if you have any comments or questions about the program, or maybe you know somebody in the golf profession that you would love to have on the broadcast as a special guest. By all means, feel free to reach out through those contact and we'll be more than happy to make arrangements to get them on. As I mentioned, I'm going to be joined this morning by a young lady. Actually, again, she was on last year. I believe it was around August. She was the winner at that time of the PHC Classic on the Symetra Tour. And let me tell you just a little bit about her, and then I will bring her on the broadcast here. Of course, her name is Lauren Coughlin. She's 26-year-old native of Charlottesville, Virginia, also a graduate of the University of Virginia. And she competes primarily on the last year she competed primarily on the LPGA in 2018. She's a two-time All-ACC selection who won the 2017 ACC individual title to capture the ACC Player of the Year honors. As I mentioned, she was a first-time winner on the Symetra Tour in 2018 at the PHC Classic, which also earned her an exemption into the Evian Championship. So let me welcome our very special guest this morning, Lauren Coughlin. Good morning, Lauren.
Hey,
how are you?
How's it going? Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. As I was just mentioning to the listeners, you were actually on with us. I think it was August last year. Was that when the PHC Classic was playing? I think it was August of last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like the beginning of August, I think. When I won the Milwaukee event. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I remember you being on the show, and I thought, I remember this young lady. She came on last year on the show when she won the tournament. So, unfortunately, didn't quite make it this past week. We're going to talk a little bit about that here in just a second. Of course, I'm talking about the Sky Golf Championship, which was the inaugural event for Sky Golf, but it was also the first event of the season for the Symetra Tour. So, but what a great way to start the season out with a three-way tie followed by a sudden death playoff. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. And obviously the winner was Alana. And I think is it pronounced Uriel?
I think so. I'm not 100% sure on that one.
Okay. I think it's Uriel. She actually ended up closing out on the sudden death on the 73rd hole of the championship. And she's from Carlsbad, California. And you, of course, as I mentioned, are from Charlottesville, Virginia. And then there was another young lady also. There was three of you, Julieta Granada, who was from Paraguay. Mm-hmm. She was also in there with you. So tell us a little bit about, let's go back earlier in the tournament a little bit. How did you feel coming into this event? I know you've done a lot of stuff, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but I know you did a lot of things to prepare for this season, but how were the course conditions, and how did you feel coming into this event?
Yeah, the course conditions were really nice. They got the greens rolling really pretty quick, actually, compared to what I played on Monday, and the fairways were rolling as well. I had been in Houston and Charlottesville kind of for the past 2-3 months, and they've been getting so much rain. So it was nice to finally get some roll on my drives and not hit and end up right where I landed.
Right.
That was nice.
Yeah. There's nothing worse than plugging in the middle of the fairway. Obviously,
oh, no.
You know, the
or sometimes not even being able to find your ball because it's so wet.
Yeah. Tell me, I know the feeling. But you're exactly right. I'm in Florida, and we've been just, in fact, yesterday it poured and poured and poured all day. So I know exactly what you're talking about, the wet weather. And, and obviously a big difference, you know, being out in Texas where, you know, normally, and I think they've had a little bit more rain in that this year as well, but normally it's pretty dry. Were you playing in Texas? Were you sort of warming up in Texas, or was that there for a different reason?
Yeah, so I went there for the last 2 weeks. My parents live there, and I have a great course that the Woodlands Country Club lets me come out and practice at their courses when I'm in town. And so, yeah, I was going there, just kind of getting out of Virginia, because although Virginia was getting just as much rain as Houston was, at least when the days it wasn't raining, it was like 70 degrees in Houston and not like freezing in, like it was in Virginia.
Right.
So I needed to be able – I was able to, you know, hit golf balls on mats and stuff when I was in Virginia, but it was nice to be able to actually hit off grass and put on some really nice greens and kind of just get playing, which is what I wasn't able to do while I was in Virginia. So, yeah, it was in preparation for the season starting, just kind of getting – two really good weeks of practice in.
Yeah, and it's nice to visit with, you know, with your parents and that before you sort of kick the season off, to get some family time in as well. I mean, that's incredibly important. And I don't know what your time is like this morning, but if you're able to, Lauren, I would love for you to stick past a little bit longer if you're able to. And if you're not, that's not a problem.
Yeah, that's fine.
I know you've got probably things you have to do, but I would love, because there's a couple things I want to talk to you about sort of after we talk about the tournament and things like that. So obviously your performance at Charlotte Harbor National Golf Club, which is where the tournament this past weekend, and that's at Bobcat Trail in Florida. And as I said, you were one of the runner-ups in the tournament. Were you leading at any point through the tournament, or obviously you were very close to the top? What was your position for most of the tournament?
Most of the tournament I was from – I think I started my fourth round and like tied for ninth. I was about 2 shots back. And I think about 10 holes in, I think I got tied for the lead. but then like Alana and Julieta and them kind of, I think, had some more birdies and stuff coming in. So I get to the 16th hole, or no, the 15th hole, and I see the scoreboard and I'm 2 shots back again. And I go 15, parred 17, birdied 15, parred 16, birdied 17, and then eagled 18 to get a 1-shot lead.
Wow. Very cool.
Yeah.
and obviously, it always makes it nice to come back. And now, are you a player that, you know, because some players, they all vary, but are you a player who does better coming from behind, or are you a player better that once you get lead, you know, get the lead, you're a good player to hold the lead? What are you? I mean,
I feel very comfortable coming from behind. I feel like the pressure isn't on me, and I can really play more free. I was 3 shots behind when I won Milwaukee last year, going in the last round, and ended up winning that one. I've won 2 state opens as well before I had any symmetry status, and I think I was like 5 shots behind both times when I won those. And so I don't mind it. Unfortunately, I've never had the lead in a symmetry event, so. But
well,
I still
well, maybe
won and tied for the lead, so it's okay.
Yeah, maybe that's a good game plan then, to not try to jump into the lead too quickly and just sort of stay at that, you know, hovering, you know, maybe a couple of shots behind until you need to really get in there and close the deal. So what happened on, so obviously you played 18 again, I don't mean 18 holes, but you played number 18 again, of course, in the 73rd hole. And obviously you weren't able to eagle it again, you know, to continue on. So what happened on the playoff hole, do you think? What was there an area or particular part, other than the fact that you didn't get an eagle, that you think that affected how things came out?
Well, the wind died down from when we played it in regulation. So I had like 200 yards in when in regulation. So it was like a perfect 5-wood. And then in the playoffs, there wasn't, the wind had really died down. There really wasn't anything. So I had 216 to the pin, and it's a very tucked back left pin. And I actually hit a very, very good 3-wood to get to about between like 20, 25 feet or so. But Alana had, I mean, she had probably 4-iron in. So she had just had a big, much bigger advantage, and she was able to just get it a little bit closer than I was. And
right.
She hit it to about, you know, I think 10, 12 feet or so. And then she just drilled the putt, and I just didn't, there wasn't really, I didn't do anything wrong. I hit 2 really good
right.
shots. She just made the putt, and I didn't.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously that happens. I mean, that's part of tour
mm-hmm.
life. You're going to, you know, get into playoffs. The main thing is, if you're not going to, you know, if you don't outright win the tournament, the next best thing
mm-hmm.
is to at least get in a playoff and give yourself a chance to then, you know, close at that point. So, I mean, there's a lot of great things that you can take away from this experience that are going to help you, you know, throughout
mm-hmm.
the rest of the season. And I was reading a very interesting quote that you said, you talked about this event. You said, I can only be so mad that I didn't quite pull it off and eagle it again. Obviously, you were talking about on the playoff hole.
Mm-hmm.
But you had a smile on your face when you said that, so that was a good thing. And I really like this particular part of the quote. You said, she won, and I don't feel like I lost it. Explain that, what you
mm-hmm.
mean, because a lot of players, you know, when they say, well, I lost the tournament, you didn't really lose the tournament. She won the tournament.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so what I mean by that is, in college, I won the ACC championship my last year of college, but I had 3 other tournaments that year that I came in second place that I was leading or just didn't quite pull it off. But one time, you know, I shot 4-under in the final round, and LaCarabie Abe, actually, who she's out here on the Snatcher right now as well, who played at Alabama, she shot like 5 or 6-under. So at that point, I shot a good final round score and just didn't quite, she shot 12-under, I shot 11-under. So I didn't quite pull it off. But there was two other times where I felt like I lost the tournament. They didn't beat me, wherein
mm-hmm.
I just didn't quite hit good shots coming in or make the putts that I needed to coming in. Kind of what I felt like yesterday, where I hit the shots that I needed to. I shot 6-under. I mean, I ended birdie, par, birdie, eagle.
Right.
And I gave myself an opportunity to make eagle. She just made it, and I didn't. But I did everything
right.
how I was supposed to do it, and it just didn't work out. So I don't feel like I lost. She won.
Right. No, that's a great way to look at it, because, you know, you can do everything just right out on the golf course, as you said. You know,
mm-hmm.
you can hit all the right shots. You can make, you know, all the right putts. But somebody might come along, and not necessarily that they play a little bit better, but might even have, and I hate to use this word, but maybe on a few holes make some lucky putts. They were maybe, you know, 20, 30
mm-hmm.
feet away, and, you know, their leg putt drops in, which, you know, always doesn't happen too often. So,
yeah.
You know, a lot of factors can be involved, and you can go out and play one of your best. I mean, 66, that's certainly nothing to sneeze at. That's a great round of
mm-hmm.
golf. But at the same token, you know, you got into the playoff and your putt didn't go in, hers did. So there was really, as you said, there was nothing that you did wrong. It's just that she happened to have her putt go in, and as I said, yours didn't. So I think that's a great
mm-hmm.
attitude to have, you know, to have that, you know, not going and looking at, well, you lost the tournament, because obviously you didn't. I mean, technically, yes, you did, but you didn't lose it through your efforts. And I think that's a very great.
No, exactly.
Yeah, go
like,
ahead, sorry.
Say I hit a poor drive, and then I hit my approach shot in the bunker, and I don't hit it close. And then, you know, like, there's many things where I could have done where, like, yeah, I lost that. But I hit very good shots coming in, and hers, just like it, and like we just said, you know, her putt went in, mine didn't, and that's all it is to it, really. So it was a good effort, and it wasn't like I didn't mess up. I did everything I needed to do, and it just wasn't quite enough, but that's okay.
Yeah, and you know, as I said a moment ago, you know, you're going to take this experience, and this is gonna, I mean, this is a great way to start the season. I mean, obviously, yeah, it would have been
mm-hmm.
a little nicer to actually and ultimately been the winner, but again, you got into a playoff and you gave yourself a very strong chance to be that, and now you can propel yourself through the rest of the season, And also you have a win from last year to help secure that little extra confidence. You know you're able to do it and get things done. So, you know, there's no doubt, there's no issues. It's just a matter of, okay, I got to go out and do it again this year. And I think that's a great way, you know, some great momentum. I want to talk about, too, throughout the round, obviously you played very, very well. What was your strongest area of your game this tournament? And what areas kind of, if at all, let you down a few times?
Yeah, so one of my big strengths, I think, is always my accuracy off the tee. But then I think my ball striking is very, I don't hit, you know, crazy number of greens. I think I average between like 12 and 14 greens a round, which is still very good. But when I do hit those greens, I'm hitting it very close. I very rarely, and so I'm giving myself a lot of birdie opportunities. But also, I really worked really hard on my putting this year as well, or this off season, and that,
right.
To be honest, I think that really was what, I only had 1 3 putt in 4 days. I averaged like 27 putts around, something like that, which for me, and then I think my putts per green regulation was like 1.7, which is, if you're winning on tour, you're under 1.7 is what you need to be for your putts per green regulation. So I think probably my ball striking, but I think really what saved me was my putting overall. Something that I need to work on was definitely my wedges. between like 50 to 90 yards was very bad.
Right.
Very, very bad. the ground was really firm in places, and so I was like ail mailing some, and then other times it wouldn't be. I think it goes back to the ground that I was playing on in Houston, where it's just so wet, and so I was used to, you know, it one way, and then I get here and it's just not quite the same. So, and it also didn't help that the range balls were those floating range balls, which are fine.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just not getting, I wasn't able to really work on them at all, because I'm hitting into a lake with no real, targets to go at, and the balls aren't real golf balls, so I'm not exactly sure how far it's going and stuff like that. So that, you know, my wedges, and I think if I keep everything else the same, I'm winning again this week.
Yeah, and that's important. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, and let me just go back for a second to something that you said, because you kind of played it down a little bit. 12 to 14 fairways in a round, that's pretty darn good. That's in the high percentile of greens and reg. I mean, you may not see that as a professional, but for the amateurs that probably just gassed listening to that, what do you mean 12 to 14? I'm lucky if I hit 5. They're thinking, what's she talking about here? But that is, obviously as a professional, you want to hit, you know, everyone, but obviously that's not going to happen too often. But 12 to 14 is certainly, you know, nothing to back off of. I think that's a pretty great stat.
It's about tour average. It's about tour average. So, like, yeah, it's very good, but it could be better, you know, get myself more opportunities to make birdie.
right, exactly. And you got to remember, too, that's, you know, this is early in the season. As the season progresses, everything in your game will sort of tighten up a little bit you know, you'll obviously have some little glitches along the way, like we all do. But, over the season, that number will, increase. And the same with your putting and that sort of thing. So it's, you know, I think really to come out the way you did this particular tournament right out from the gate, I think is fantastic. I mean, you know, it's not easy to come from an off season, even if you play a lot of golf, because, you know, this is the first tournament of the year, to have that great of a showing in your first event of the season. I mean, a double thumbs up to you, Lauren, for doing that, because that's not an easy task to coming off the off season. So now, speaking of off season, I understand you were doing some gym work a little bit more and other things to prep for the season. Give us an idea of some things that you did in the off season besides obviously out practicing your game to get ready.
Yeah, so I mean, my season ended like first week in November, so I had 4 months of off season, which is the longest I've had since I graduated in 2016. Like, I haven't had that much of a break between tournaments in a very, very long time. So I took a lot of time off of golf. definitely get burnt out very easily in it. And so, like, when I'm able to take time off, I, like, won't touch a club for a while.
Right.
And so I did that. I got back into it starting in January. And then about in between Thanksgiving and Christmas, sometime in there, I just decided that I didn't really like how I looked anymore.
Right.
I had aches and pains last year that I shouldn't have been having. I was I was so tired by the end of the season last year. I lost probably a club in distance by the end of the year. There was just a lot of things, and I just kind of decided that I needed to work out. As much as I didn't like doing it, I needed to. And so right in between then, I started doing just like some – actually started doing kickboxing in the beginning, kind of doing some cardio stuff. And then after Christmas and after the new year, my college coach, Kim Llewellyn, her husband came to me and was like, backstory is he coaches baseball for one of the top private schools in Virginia, private high schools. Mm-hmm. He's assistant coach for Miller Baseball. And they're one of the best ones in the state. And he's very into training athletes. And so he came to me and was like, I can help you if you want. And so I started working out with him 3 times a week while also doing cardio 3 other times a week. I started lifting is what I started doing. I've had 2 months of working out 5 to 6 times a week. Kind of rotating between doing a lift, which will last me about 1.5 to 2 hours with him, and then cardio about 1 hour the other days.
Wow.
And I've lost 15 pounds since January, and I've lost almost 2 pant sizes.
Wow.
Shirt size. Yeah. I've never enjoyed working out as much as I do now. I think I'm very much, I like routines, and I got into a very good routine when I was at home in Charlottesville and with his help. And so I've continued it. I actually, for the very first time, I worked out in the middle of a tournament. So Friday I had an early tea time. And so Friday afternoon I went to the gym and got a workout in, which if you had told me I was going to do that last year, I would have laughed at you. it's just been a complete mindset shift.
Yeah. Well, you know what, and just for the benefit of the listeners, you know, let me just say this. You know, it's not easy. People, you know, when they think, a lot of people think of golf and they say, well, it's not really that physically demanding. And you know, I don't understand why, you know, we're seeing all these young guns, if you will, coming up, and they're all very, you know, athletic and so forth. But the truth of the matter is it takes a lot of stamina, especially if you're playing 3 or 4, you know, rounds of tournaments. You know, it's not like, you know, our weekend golfers that maybe go out and play once on the weekend and they're lucky if they play next weekend. You're playing on average, you know, 3, sometimes 4, depending on the tournament, in a row, and practicing on top of that. Now you got to throw some sort of a workout routine in there as well to sort of keep things going. So that's not an easy task to do. And obviously that's something, you know, as you mentioned a few moments ago, you know, towards the end of last season, you were kind of feeling, well, you know, I'm out of gas. I'm just not feeling good. You know, I'm kind of achy. I got to do something about that. And obviously that was smart on your part to recognize that, because there's a lot that out there that don't, and they, you know, end up, that's when you become more susceptible to injury. So what do you think was the deciding factor for you? I mean, you just weren't feeling well. It was that pretty much the motivation said, I got to do something and make some changes.
Yeah. I think the big thing was, feeling how tired I got towards the end of the year and how much distance I lost where, I mean, I did play in, I mean, people need to understand. So I start, I mean, yes, my first tournament was in January, but really the brunt of our schedule is from March until about October. And I played in 20 tournaments between March and October, which is a lot of golf. you know, yep. I'm playing, and I didn't make many cuts, so even then, I was still so
right.
tired, and you're lots of travel, and it just wears on you, and, you know, I was having, my back was hurting, and my knee was bothering me off and on, and it was just, like, things that, like, but I never did anything to hurt them, so it was just, my body was just not happy with what I was doing, essentially, and my knee, it was just all of a sudden, like, my knee, I couldn't bend down to read a putt and get back up, like, but there was
right.
nothing that I did. So it was that, and then on top of just how much distance I lost, but from the start of the year to the end of the year, and then even at Q school, at Q series, I mean, that last round of Q series, I was dragging.
And, yeah.
You know, I tripled, I think, my, like, 14th or 15th hole, and on the very last day. I mean, if I'm able to just say bogey, I'm in more LPGA events, and that it was huge. Even just that last day, that one hole cost me probably a couple starts here in the beginning of the season when I really need them. And so,
yeah.
You know, it's just hard to look back and say, if I have been in better shape, would I have been able to finish better? You know, and I think that shows. My fitness shows on the last day of the tournament on Sunday. I mean, I ended
mm-hmm.
birdie, par, birdie, eagle. And that par that I had, I left the putt about an inch short dead center. So I really could have
wow.
had birdie, 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 eagle finish. So, and on a 4-day tournament, first tournament of the year, like, that just shows, I think, how much my stamina has gotten better, even though, again,
mm-hmm.
it was the first tournament of the year, but I don't think I was able to do. I would have been able to do that.
Do you think?
Year at all.
Do you think? Yeah. Do you think, Lauren, since you've started this change, obviously, again, it's only the first tournament, but you've obviously had some practice in between. Are you seeing some of the distance coming back now as a result?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I'm definitely hitting it at least as far as I was at the beginning of the year last year. My driver, I think, has gotten a little bit better. But also, I don't even think it was just distance that I lost. I lost a lot of accuracy because I was having to swing so hard to try to get distance back. And I don't like swinging hard. I like swinging
right.
at about, like, 85-90%. I think you're more accurate that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was, but I was having to swing hard because I couldn't even hit an 8-iron, like, 130 yards. And I was like, this is ridiculous.
So, right.
And so
yeah.
I think that was a big thing
yeah,
too as well, that it's just, I'm hitting it like I was hitting it at the beginning of the year last year.
Yeah, you're going to, I mean, obviously as time goes on, you know, regardless of what you do, your distance is going to decrease a little bit as we all get older. I mean, I'm obviously a
yeah.
lot older than you are. And I don't hit it quite as far as I used to when I was in my 20s. But, you know, and you do the best that you can to sort of slow that process down. But, you know, you're still young and full of a lot of energy. And you know, something else,
yeah.
too, that, Lauren, I think that a lot of people don't appreciate, and especially because you gals travel so much from tournament to tournament, and, you know, you don't have the luxury at this stage in your career, and maybe you won't go that route anyways, but, you know, once you get some status on the LPGA and that and win a bunch of tournaments, you know, you can afford to fly a little bit more you know,
mm-hmm.
your expenses go up, but you have the financial resources to be able to balance a little bit better. So, you know, when you're driving and you've got to stop and you've got to eat, nutrition becomes a big issue. Because I know I've talked to many of you before. I mean, you were on last year, as I said, and I'm sure we touched on this a little bit, but that's a big factor too for you gals, because, you know, you're traveling, and obviously I know you're stopping and you're eating and that, but
mm-hmm.
the truth of the matter is there's probably moments throughout the year that you're probably not eating your best because, you know, you're trying to get to that next event and maybe it's a long route or something. So you're just stopping and grabbing whatever you can get.
Mm-hmm.
How did that change for you starting this season? Did you change, in addition to, you know, working out and doing some of the other things that you mentioned, did you change nutritionally what you're eating?
Yes,
or have you
I
always
did.
been a pretty good eater? Go ahead, tell us a little bit about
no,
that.
No, I'm a pretty bad eater. So normally, I mean, I very much like my sweets, like my desserts and stuff like that. So
right.
No, and like bread and pasta. So a big thing what I did was I stopped eating. I mean, I wouldn't say that I went on any particular, you know, like fad diet, but I definitely cut back a lot on carbs. I ate a lot. I'm eating a lot more protein than I was, more vegetables than I was. It was nice this week. My grandmother lives 25 minutes from Charlotte Harbor, so I was able to stay at home with her and cook with her, or either she'd cook or I'd cook, and she'd make, you know, I was able to make breakfast every morning and have dinner with her every night, and so that helped a lot. I'm eating more on the course than I was before as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say I ate a little bit more carbs than I would have if I was just at home, just because I need the carbs when I'm out on the golf course to keep me going. But yeah, the big thing was I cut out soda, no sweets, sugar. Very, very, you know, I would still have a little bit of, like, if I'd make my husband or something, like, some, like, spaghetti meatballs or something, I would still have, like, oh, just a little bit of pasta, but not near, like, a quarter of what
right.
I would have had before, just to kind of get the taste of it, but not, and mainly just eat, like, a ton of the meatballs, or it's like that type of stuff where, yeah, I would still have maybe a little bit of rice, but I would have more meat than I would have, and then more vegetables than I would have, is a big thing.
Right. Yeah, I can tell you from personal experience.
I tried fasting a little bit as well, like intermittent fasting.
Oh, really?
You know, like not eating before like noon and stuff like that. Yeah, and then once you do
right.
once you eat afternoon, you just eat a lot of protein. And that has worked as well. I enjoyed doing that.
Huh. Very interesting. What I was going to say was you know, talking about the pasta, my heritage is Italian, so obviously I can't cut out pasta in my way of thinking, but I understand what you were getting at, and that's true, because a lot of that stuff, you know, converts into sugar, you know, a lot of carbs and things like that, if you're not careful, especially breads and things like that. You know, I'm somebody that's, you know, always sort of old school, like to, you know, eat good meals and things like that. But in today's sort of fast paced world, we get caught up in, well, I'm just going to grab a burger, or I'm just going to grab a, you know, and we think it's all good at, you know, and I'm not going to name names, but, you know, a chicken sandwich somewhere. And it's certainly probably better than some of the alternatives, but, you know, when you factor what they put in or high sodium and things like that, it's not good for it. And just one other note about the sodium, I did the same thing this year. Since Christmas, I have not had a single soda, and I feel so much better. I've always drank, you know, a lot of water and things like that anyways, but I noticed last season, you know, drinking sodas, not probably more than I should have. I just felt zapped of energy. I just didn't seem to, you know, always kind of felt a little lethargic. And when I stopped within about a month, and now it's almost mid-March. So, and I literally stopped at Christmas. So we're looking at about 3 months. I feel so much better, and I don't have any of the cravings for sodas anymore. So that's a huge thing as well, for a multitude of reasons, obviously the sugar, but hydration. People don't realize this, but you can, if you don't drink enough water, it's the same thing with coffee. You know, you're welcome to have coffee, but if you're not drinking water, it's very, very easy to dehydrate yourself. And especially for you guys out in the golf course, if you're not hydrating yourself, that's a killer right there.
Oh, yeah, that was the other thing. I drank so much more water than I ever have as well. Like, I definitely think that I didn't drink enough water before. You know, I wouldn't, if I wasn't thirsty, I didn't drink. So, but not, I was, when, especially when I was at home with my husband, I mean, he doesn't like drinking tap water, so he buys water bottles. And so it's a lot easier to, at least for me it was, to have like 5 or 6 water bottles a day, because we just had them. And and so, yeah, that was something that I wasn't doing either. I was drinking enough water and getting the hydration. To help me get protein, I started drinking getting protein powder. When I work out, like when I lift, I'll do take pre-workout, you know, just to kind of give me a little boost of energy and make sure that when I'm there, but it also has stuff to help with recovery in it as well. and so I don't feel so bad afterwards. I got I don't know if you've heard of what a Hypervolt is. It's like a, it's a percussion massager, and it's you get the effects of foam rolling, but it just, but it's way more concentrated, and it looks like a hammer, it's really funny looking, but it is the best thing that I've gotten. You know, it just really helps, you know, one, activate your muscles beforehand, before you work out,
right,
and then helps reduce soreness afterwards as well. So I do that a lot just to help me, you know, before I warm up in the morning, you know, I'm doing that for a good 10, 15 minutes to get all my legs and my glutes and all of that activated. So once I'm hitting balls, I'm already feeling pretty good. So it takes a long time to really get warmed up, which I didn't realize.
So
that's another thing that I changed as well. I'm starting to get warmed up a lot sooner than I was before.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than, you know, and you're exactly right, and I'm going to have to look into getting one of those for myself, because, you know, I take your word on that. You know, you hit on a couple of things, and I just want to mention that. And then, as I said, I wanted to keep you for a few minutes longer to talk about some things that maybe you can help the listeners do. But just going back to the hydration, that could also be part of the reason last season, you know, when you're not keeping yourself properly hydrated, and I'm not saying it's the only reason, but a lot of times that's why your muscles and things kind of get a little bit achy, because, you know, you're playing a pretty hefty schedule all season long, and if you're not really keeping yourself hydrated, and a lot of people think, well, I'll just drink, you know, a bunch of Gatorade, or I'll drink a bunch of that, which is, a lot of people don't realize it's the worst thing for you. I used to, you know, love having Gatorade, and I realize now that those types of products are not always the best for you. I'm not saying you can't ever have them, but if you're relying on that to keep you hydrated, that's not going to happen. That's a falsehood.
Yeah, there's a lot of sugar in them too.
Right, a lot of sugar, and there's a lot of other great things that you can help with your electrolytes and things like that. But, but you know, being hydrated throughout the season is crucial. That keeps your muscles active and keeps them in good shape and that. And it's amazing. And I think what a lot of things, and you know, when you're used to drinking other, you know, soft drinks and things like that, and it's not to say that I didn't have water, but not to the same degree that I do now. The truth of the matter is water doesn't really taste good because it doesn't have a taste. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, I can't stand drinking water. There's no flavor to it. And, you know, that's why here in the South, a lot of them will throw a little wedge of lemon or something in there, you know, just to add some sort of flavor to it. And you mentioned about some different powders and things like that that you can use for, you know, pre-warm up and that, just to add some flavoring too.
I also did Crystal Light a lot as well.
Right,
when I got tired of drinking just regular water, Crystal Light was a good go-to.
Yeah, and it's good to mix it. Yeah, it's good to mix it up like that too, Lauren. I mean, you know, I'll be honest, even now, I mean, every once in a while I'll have a sweet tea or something like that, which I know is probably not the best thing for you, but you know, I am here in the South, so, you know, I've got to do as the Southerners do, but anyways, you know, water does, like I said, after a while it gets a little bland, so you got to kind of spice it up a little bit. But I'm like you, you know, I had to get rid of the sodas, that they were just too much. So this sort of brings me to the next thing that I want to talk to you about. You know, for those down here in the South and certain parts of the country where it is a little bit warmer, and, you know, people are maybe thinking about getting out, or maybe some of the Northerners that are coming down here to play their first golf of the season before, you know, things warm up back home. There's a lot of things that you know, you do as obviously professionals, but amateurs can do to sort of warm up and prep for the season. We've touched on some of it here with things that you've done. But I want to talk about, you know, putting some numbers to things. So let's say, for an example, let's talk about, you know, warm up and that sort of thing. What did you discover about your warm up routine that maybe could benefit the listeners? Now, obviously, they're not going to go to the same level that you are because you're playing it on a professional stage. But what are some tips that you could say, okay, here, if you're going to go out and play this season and you want to play your best golf, this is at the very bare minimum what you need to be doing before you go out and hit your first shot on the golf course?
Yeah, one thing that I really found that I really liked that helps get me jump started is I actually walk on the treadmill for about 10 minutes before I start. You don't in I'm not at a slow pace, but not at like a crazy walking pace either, but it is to get like your heart rate going, and it gets the blood flowing to all your muscles, and it helps getting, you know, your legs and your glutes and all of that really starting working is one thing that I started as well. So just walking for like 5 to 10 minutes will really help get your muscles going. Another thing that I started doing was stretching a little bit to get warmed up as well. A good thing is to do some walking lunges, which aren't too difficult to do, because those get the legs and the glutes as well. That's the big thing for me, is getting my legs firing and my glutes firing, so my back doesn't take on all of the brunt of
right.
when I'm swinging. So at least for me, it's my low back that bothers me when I'm not properly warmed up. And so walking lunges, hip bridges, people may not know. You basically get on the ground, you lay on the ground, you put your legs up in like a triangle shape, and then you just lift up your center
right.
of your stomach and stuff, and you go up, and it gets your hamstrings going and your glutes going as well. And then I do the hypervolt, which not everybody's going to have that, but
sure.
there's cheaper versions of it as well that you can get, or foam roll would be another good one. A lot of it is really just making sure your legs are warmed up. And then also your shoulders. I do some stretching on my shoulders as well to get them loosened up. Nothing crazy. It's usually just like I go to a wall and, you know, just work them out until they feel loose.
Yeah, and you raise an interesting point, and I know, and you may or may not do this, but and I'm sure some of the other ladies on tour do, but yoga is another thing as well. And obviously, you know, you don't have to get into a full yoga you know, workout before, but that's something that you can do as well throughout the day to help, you know, keep the muscles stretched and things like that. There's a lot of great moves in yoga that you know, a lot of people have done and discovered. Even men now are starting to realize, you know, before we kind of, you know, poo-pooed yoga. It's like, I'm not doing yoga, that's you know, that's not for me. And a very good friend of mine, Catherine Roberts, who I'm not sure if you're aware of, but she's been all over the Golf Channel over the years and whatnot. And she has a company, an organization called Yoga for Golfers. And she not only does it for the golf industry, but she actually works with many top Major League Baseball teams in the United States. That now they're all getting into it as well. So if she's convinced some of those hardline, you know, males to you know, do some stretching and yoga poses.
It's a great workout.
And
it's
yeah,
a lot
it is.
Harder
it really.
People think it is.
I know. Trust me. I know. I can attest to that. I'm 6'4", and it's hard to get into some of those moves for me, especially. Anyways, I won't get into it. But so that's one thing that obviously you're exactly right. I think warming up, and again, you know. We're talking about necessarily separate from your regular workout routine. I think one of the biggest mistakes, Lauren, too, that a lot of golfers do, especially men, probably more so than women, is they, well, I hit the gym, you know, 3 or 4 times a week and I'm lifting weights. And that's not always good for your golf swing, because lifting heavy weights and things like that, you know, obviously makes you susceptible to injury, but also doesn't really hit the golf muscles. So those kinds of warm-ups like you're talking about are going to get those muscles fired up and get the blood flowing and get you ready for getting up the golf course. So when we get to the golf course, obviously there's another part of the warm-up, and that's, you know, hitting some balls to warm up. So, again, from an amateur's perspective, I mean, you obviously have a much different and more regimented routine. What would you suggest to amateurs to do when they get to the practice tee to sort of warm up before they go out and play their round?
Really start with your wedges. You do not immediately start hitting full shots. Because, again, right. you're going to hurt yourself. It's the same thing as if you were just go to the gym and just all of a sudden, you know, on a heavy, you know, if you're just, you're going to hurt yourself if you're just getting right. there and immediately hitting full swings. You really mm-hmm. need to start with your wedges. And I start, you know, half shots. Then I gradually right. work my way up with my wedges. And then once I'm feeling good with those, then I'll start hitting full shots. But that's really how you're going to hurt yourself, is if you just immediately get to the golf course and immediately start hitting full shots.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and you've got to warm up your back, as you said, too. I mean, you know, even if you do some stretches and things like that, you know, if you, you know, some of the amateur golfers might, their top speed might, swing speed might only be 85 miles an hour, which is still plenty fast. Mm-hmm. But if you're, you know, out there cranking that kind of speed right from the get-go, that's when you're going to tweak something in your back or pull a muscle or what have you. So, yeah, this is why, you know, you see a lot of the pros just sort of warming up and getting those, you know, golf muscles in check and that. And then they work up, you know, to their driver and stuff. And you're exactly right. I mean, I see so many amateurs as a golf teach professional go out there and they pull out, the first thing they pull out is their driver. And so, okay, I'm going to be on the first tee soon. So I want to see how good my driver is. And then they get mm-hmm. to the first tee and they wonder why they're, you know, their back's kind of twitching a little bit and, you know, because they didn't warm up properly. So those are some great tips. You know, start with your wedges, just some easy, you know, maybe quarter to half wedge just to get warmed mm-hmm. up for a little bit. And then you're going to progress up through the clubs, obviously, as time goes on. But what would you say would be a reasonable, and again, given the fact that a lot of amateurs don't have the same time that you do to dedicate to the game, mm-hmm. what would be in your mind a reasonable amount of time before playing around to get there and give yourself adequate time to practice, you know, before you play? What should they, you know, allow themselves?
I mean, I think you should give yourself about between like an hour, like between like 30 minutes an hour, I think is plenty. I mean, you're not going to be doing, you know, crazy things like I am. Like, I'm getting there almost 2 hours usually just to make sure I'm getting warmed up and everything beforehand. But I think anywhere between 30 minutes into an hour, because I feel like a lot of amateurs will get there like 20 minutes before their tee time and they just basically they go check in and they go straight to the tee. I know my husband
you're being
does that and I'm like
you're being yeah. generous, Lauren, trust me, you're being generous because I've seen them pull in 10 minutes before their tee time and they're running
does that. Or, I'm like you're supposed to do it to the tee 10 minutes before you. I'm like, I don't understand.
Right.
I guess that's just from my tournament day. Like, I'm ready to, I get to my tee time, get to the tee 10 minutes before my tee time, even if I'm just going and playing with my dad, you know, like I'm ready to go.
Right.
But my husband right. will pull up there 20 minutes beforehand.
I think
if you give yourself between 30 minutes to an hour, you have plenty of time to get in, and you have to hit golf balls and you have to not start out immediately hitting full shots.
Right. And that's a great point. And, you know, we understand that again, in today's society that people have a lot of time constraints mm-hmm. and things like that. And if time is an issue for you, then maybe rather than playing a full 18, maybe just play 9 for that particular time and still allow yourself a little bit extra time to get out there and warm up, because that is so crucial. There's nothing worse than when I have somebody that comes to me and says, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that. And the first thing I'll ask them about is, you know, how do you prepare and what do you do? You know, what did you do before you got here today? And it's like, well, I, you know, hopped on this highway and I, you know, and they're telling me about their navigating to the golf course. And it's like, no, I want to know what you did to prepare. And it's like, well, I didn't really do anything since the last time I was here. And that right away sends up a red flag to me that you're not serious about improving. You know, if you want to get better, this is a game, even at your level, you're always improving. And you know that in your case, what you need to do to be able to improve, you've taken those steps in the off season to get yourself physically in better shape to be able to compete out here. And, you know, there's no excuse for a lot of the amateurs. Again, they don't have to go to the same regiment that you've done because you're playing at a different level. But if you want to play your best golf, you can't just show up to the golf course with the golf clubs in hand and not do anything to prepare mm-hmm. before and expect to get results, because it's just not going to happen. And, you know, when I start seeing students coming to like that, I just usher them away. I don't even bother with it. You know, I'm polite about it, obviously, but I don't want to waste my time because they're not going to be happy with the results because they're not going to put the time and effort in to improve. So, you know, another thing too, Lauren, I think in a lot of people forget about this, but you guys as the pros know by heart that this is a crucial area, and that is the equipment itself. It's not just about having, you know, great equipment, but it's about taking care of it. Now, obviously, you have a different process, again, because you play more golf, but things like the grips, you know, how many times do we see, I'm sure, you know, played in pro-ams, that you've seen players come in, and you can just tell by looking at the grips are pretty slick, and, you know, they probably haven't changed them in a few seasons, and, you know, or they haven't been fitted properly. That's another big, big problem with a lot of amateur golfers. So just touch a little bit about that, about what you do each season to make sure you're playing with the best equipment and that everything's in ship shape for the season.
Well, not even just always being fit for it, but having updated equipment is very important. Like if your irons are more than 6-7 years old, you know, there's a big difference. You can gain a lot of yards very quickly just by getting updated equipment. You don't even have to go and get, like, the nicest of the nice stuff, but just by getting something with the new with the most recent technology will make a huge difference. Same with your woods. If your woods are more than 5, 6, 7 years old, there's a huge – you're giving up a lot of yards. I mean, so for me, I go every year. Ping is my – my go-to for pretty much everything. They've been great for me. I have a great relationship with them from college, and but I go there every off season and get my irons checked, make sure they're still going good, and if they have anything new, I'll try it out and compare. Same with the woods. I got the new G410s right now, and they I really, really like my driver is awesome. Same with my 3-wood and 5-wood and hybrid. So I really, really like them. I already had the I210, so I didn't even change my irons. But I got the new woods this off season, and they are very, I really, really like them a lot. Not that I didn't like the G400, but the I think I didn't do a very good job of making sure everything fit me correctly last year.
Right.
And was so my 3-wood was very spinny, and I couldn't control it very well, and I think it was on me just not making sure I had a good enough shaft in it, or I didn't have it on a good setting for me, or whatever. So that made it really hard on par fives to get my par five scoring down, because I couldn't keep a 3-wood in play, but. Or if I would hit it, I would hit it into places where it's hard to make birdie. But really getting custom clubs or getting fit for clubs is very important as well, just because you don't have to compensate in your golf swing. You fit your club to your golf swing. You don't fit your golf swing to a club.
Well said. The other thing, too, very quickly I want to point out about that is also, in addition to being fitted properly with the right clubs, but having the right clubs in the bag. You touched on this. You mentioned, you know, you've got a hybrid in there. You know, a mistake, and I think amateurs are starting to learn and starting to catch on, but I still see a few out there that have got long irons. You know, they might even want to get rid of one of their woods. I mean, you know, they don't necessarily have to play with the 1, 3, and 5 anymore like we used to. You can replace it with some other clubs. I mean, obviously you have your driver, but you know, maybe get rid of your 5-wood and replace it with, you know, a couple of hybrids, have a hybrid and, you know, get rid of a couple long irons and replace them with hybrids instead, because they are easy to play, and especially for the ladies. There's some great sets out there that actually go right down to virtually the 6-iron in hybrids.
Yep.
And, you know, it just makes it so much easier. In fact, some of them even go further than that, but you know, so there's a lot of great options, and that's really where you want to get connected with your local golf pro and go in there and get fitted properly, make sure that you're getting the right equipment. As you said, instead of, you know, adjusting your golf swing to the equipment, you want to get the equipment adjusted to your golf swing so that you are fitted properly, and that there is a big difference. So those are definitely some great tips, Lauren, and I want to thank you for spending this hour. It's hard to believe we've been on the air for an hour together, and I hope that I didn't take you away from anything important. I want you to do well in your
fine.
Next event. So now you're playing this week. What event's this week?
Yep, Winter Haven, the Florida's Natural Charity Classic in Winter Haven, Florida for Symetra. I do have LPGA status this year still through Q-Series, but I'm just kind of far down on the list, so I'm hoping I get into Hawaii, but we'll see. we'll see. You know, they had said that it was going to be, you know, if you go to Q-Series, you come in top 45, you have full, but it's not really working out that way, unfortunately. So that's why I'm doing these. I kind of, you know, tried to chase, you know, Monday qualifiers, but I really felt like I needed to get tournament reps in. And so I decided to come and play in these. One, I decided to pay dues on Symetra just in case I don't get enough LPGA. You know, the ultimate goal is to get my card again for next year, right, on LPGA.
Right.
So what is my best way to do that? Well, if I don't get into any enough LPGA events, then Symetra is the way to go. So I paid dues just to make sure I could play in as many as I wanted, and just in case I had to. And so, yeah, hopefully I'll play in Hawaii. I think I'm going to try to Monday qualify for San Diego. And then I'll play in the Windsor event for Symetra, which is a couple weeks before Hawaii in April. That's my schedule for now.
Wow. Yeah, that would be a nice – well, that's a nice short-term goal to shoot for Hawaii. Who wouldn't want to go over there? Even if you weren't playing, it would just be a nice trip to go over. But,
I'm
you know,
planning
Lauren,
on
I want
going
thank...
regardless.
Oh, yeah. I don't blame I don't blame you. I mean, if the option's there, I mean, go, whether you're playing or not. That's fantastic. And, you know, and I think just to sort of recap, or not recap, but just to cap off what we were just talking about, something that you just said about, you know, really playing smart. You know, you're not sure what the status is going to be on the LPGA. And I mean, you know, to some degree, but, you know, you're as you said, you're a little further down the list. And those opportunities may not be as often as you would have liked. So that's the other thing that amateurs can take away from our discussion today is, in addition to the equipment and warming up and working out and things like that, and that is playing smart. You know, using your head, not just around the golf course, but, you know, practicing as well. I mean, you've got to get out there and you've got to put the efforts into the game if you want to improve. And that doesn't mean, you know, that your goal is to be a scratch golfer. You know, if that's not what your goal is, that's okay. You know, everybody's not going to be a scratch golfer or going to be a tournament player. But, you know, if you want to improve and get out and have fun and at least enjoy the game, then you've got to put the effort in. And it's like anything, whatever effort you put in is what you're going to get out of it. And if you put none in, then you're going to get nothing out of it. So you're playing smart. I think that's a very wise approach to you know, as you said, pay your dues for Symetra this season, get as much additional experience there. And I think you're going to have at least another win under your belt this season on Symetra. Just, I mean, you know, not just because you won last year, but how you started this season and the fact that you've come in with sort of a rejuvenated Lauren, if you will. You're feeling better. You're on top of your game and had a great showing the first event at the Sky Golf Championship. And I know you're going to do well this week as well. And if you win, well, you'll be joining us next week on the show because we're going to be the winner next week. Hopefully, if everything goes well. Keep going out and plugging away. And it's been an honor. And anytime you want to come back, whether you win or not, Lauren, you just let Zach know, and we'll be more than happy to have you. Yeah, and I apologize that Cindy wasn't able to join us, but she had a – sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, I will say about the playing, like, you know, you get in what you get out of it. Type of thing, or you get out of it what you put in. So my husband, you know, he is very, very into golf now. You know, he played football in college, and he would come out and play with me in the, you know, when we first graduated. But, you know, and he'd get so mad, he wasn't getting any better. And I'm like, well, you're not practicing. You come out once a month, and you expect to get better. But now he is so into it. He's he'll play in any weather. It doesn't matter, rain, shine, cold, like he will be out there. and he is pretty consistently breaking 100, whereas 6-7 months
Perfect.
ago he was doing good to shoot 120. And
right.
And he's getting closer, and I think he's really, really close to being able to shoot in the 80s, which I think he goes and plays a lot now, and especially when I'm not there, it's one thing that he can go and do with some of his buddies. But he's, like I said, he's practicing and he's playing, which is the big thing as well. You're practicing, great, but if you're not going out and playing, you're not really seeing if you're doing what you're doing is the right thing.
Right. I mean, you can be a range rat, as we refer to it in the industry, all you want, but if you're not out there on the golf course, and that transition is difficult for a lot of people. There's a lot of people you can go out there and, boy, they'll stripe it pure on the range, but then as soon as they get on the golf course, you're just like, what happened to this person? Who's this guy out here? But yeah, you're exactly right. Your husband, and just one quick point that I'm going to let you go about that is, obviously he played other sports. So, obviously he has some athleticism, which is good, but it doesn't always mean you're going to be a great golfer just because you're athletic in other sports. So for some, that transition can be very easy, but for a lot, it's not. Golf is a difficult game. As you said, and I've said, what you get out of it is what you put into it. So I'm glad that he's taking it serious, and this is going to be something, post your career on tour that you guys will be able to enjoy in later years, when you move to the Villages or something in Central Florida and you can play. I'm only kidding. I don't know whether you're going to do that or not, but you know what I'm saying.
Pinehurst.
Later
Pinehurst.
Years.
There
you go. Pinehurst, exactly. So, well, Lauren, I want to thank you very much again for joining me this morning, and congratulations on a phenomenal tournament play this past week. And I wish you all the best this week in the current event and throughout the season, and I hope you'll come back and join next time. I hope Cindy will be here with me, and she sends her apologies that she wasn't able to join us, but she was mid-flight during the show, so but I hope she'll be on next time, because I know she loves to talk with you ladies from the Symetra Tour and that. So good luck, Lauren, this season. Keep doing all the stuff that you're doing. It sounds like you've got a great formula for a winning season.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome. Have a great week.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. That was this morning's special guest, Lauren Coughlin, runner-up in this past week's Symetra Tours Sky Golf Championship. And she's off and running to play another tournament this week in Florida on the Symetra Tour. So we wish her well there. And lots of great tips there. Hope you tuned in, and for those of you that haven't tuned in so far, when you hear this broadcast a little bit later, pay particular attention to some of the tips and some of the information that she gave you on how to play some of your best golf, things that you need to do as an amateur if you want to go out and really get enjoyment out of this game. There's a lot of great tips there. So I want to thank you, and again, Cindy will be back next week on the broadcast. We'll have hopefully the winner from next week's Symetra Tour event, or from this week rather, will be on next week's show. And we want to thank you, as always, for supporting our program. And we'll hope you join us next week here on the Women of Golf Show. God bless everybody and have a great week. Thanks for listening this morning to the Women of Golf Show. Tune in live each week by visiting blogtalkradio.com/womenofgolf or on any of these social media platforms: iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, CastBox, TalkStream Live, and of course Spotify. If you can't join us live, check out our on-demand section for previously aired broadcasts. To get updates for future shows and upcoming guests, you can follow us on Facebook at Women of Golf. You can also follow me on Twitter at TedandBuckCEO and Cindy at Cindy Miller Golf. Please remember to join us next week on the Women of Golf Show. See you next time. This has been a production of the iGolf Sports Network.